All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are
Recording in
recording and
progress.
Broadcasting. The floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Lloyd. Good morning, everyone. Apologize for a little bit of a late start. We were having some microphone problems in some of our areas. So this is the Wednesday, November 10th meeting of the Cambria Community Services District. We are meeting today as it is a holiday tomorrow. And I will call for order, please, on the meeting. We have all directors present. Pledge of Allegiance, Osana, may we have the flag, please? Will you join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, please? I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. And we do have the established quorum. And so we'll move on to a report from closed session. Mr. Carmel.
Thank you, Madam President. The board met in closed session to have a conference with legal counsel pursuant to Government Code Section 54956.9D1 to consider the case of Windler versus CCSD. Now, there's no action to report. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll move on to the president's report. I do have a short report today that isn't so much to do with district news as I'd like to draw to your attention to the Veterans Day program being provided by Post 3432 tomorrow. The program begins at 11 a.m. At the Vets Hall, and after the program, the Sons of the Legion will be providing a hamburger and hot dog barbecue lunch for a donation of $5, those that can attend. Please come and enjoy not only the program, but the food afterwards. And please, please use the opportunity tomorrow to thank a veteran, not only for their service, but for their sacrifice. Thank you.
Thank you.
We'll go on to agenda review. The agenda's deletions. Does anyone have either for this meeting? No, I don't see any. So with that, we will move on to the board member communications. So any board member can make an announcement or report on activities that are already covered by the agenda. I don't see any. All right. We'll move on then to the pros commission report, pros chairman. Mr. Niffen.
Can you hear me?
Cam, good morning.
Awesome. Good afternoon, everybody. Thanks for having me. I want to start off by saying thank you to you people for your service. I realize that you guys have a tough job and that the ultimate decision making and responsibilities lie in your responsibilities. So as I address you today, I understand those complexities that you've got many things to do. And as I come before you, I'm here to advocate for Parks and Rec. But as a Cambrian, I realize it's more complex than that. But that's not how I'm addressing you guys now. I'm addressing you as the Parks guy, and that's what I advocate for. But I realize the complexities of what you guys are trying to deal with. So as I say that, I want you to know that I'm passionately for this skate park project, and I think town is too. And as we work through some of the issues, I think that we're going to come. I think that we're going to accomplish this goal. It may take longer than we think, but I think we're going to get there. One of the happy things I want to talk about is that we're very satisfied with Mr. D'Enzo as our project manager. We sat down with him last Friday, Julie and I, Ms. Amade there, and had a discussion with him, and he believes that this is a doable project from an engineering standpoint. It may cost money, but we think we can get it done. So whether or not we get this grant or do this grant, we still think that having Mr. D'Enzo participate on this project is going to get us to where we need to be. So that was a good thing. We made a couple of motions. You've got the motions. We want to hire the consultant for the master plan. That was one of them. And then the other one was the skate park location. And one of the things that we hit on the second one, which is just reaffirming the skate park location, Joyce Renshaw made the statement, and we just keep reiterating that we believe that that area of Main Street with the Vets Hall and the Pine Dorado grounds is the appropriate place for a youth-centered activity. And so as I drive by there more and more, I just really, really support that location. So those were the two motions that you had in front of you from us. And then the other thing was just clearing up the final piece of the puzzle about the ex officio member. And we, are in support of that. And we think that it should be Julie Amadake, since she's the one that holds most of the information from that group. So other than those three items, that's about it. Well, one of the things is just in regards to the bathroom on the East Ranch and the discussion of that. Bloomberg News had an article just out this week that we circulated amongst the PROS commissioners for everyone to read. And I'd be happy to get it out to the general public, just on the history of public restrooms and the services they provide and the social impact of public restrooms just on all of us and our society. So with that being said, I'll get back to you guys if you have any questions. Thank you.
Mr. Niven, let me clarify something. There were not, I don't know that there were three motions that we received.
No, I just have three things written down on my piece of paper that I was supposed to talk about.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
The two motions in front of you, and you've already got the ex officio thing on your agenda.
True statement.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you for the clarification. Yeah. All right. Are there any questions or comments from the Director Howell?
Thank you. Mr. Niffen, if you would be so kind, the paper on public restrooms sounds fascinating. Would very much like to see that.
I'll pass it along. I'll tell you what, I'll post it on Nextdoor.
Could you email it? I stay off of Nextdoor because I don't like to get engaged with that stuff.
Well, you're not supposed to participate, but you can read it.
I suppose.
It may hurt your feelings, so maybe not.
Well, that's why I say it's better to kind of stay. Yeah. Well, anyway, either way, but I would like to see that.
Okay.
Sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you. Any other directors? No. All right, Mr. Niffen, thank you so much for your commission report.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
I'll be around.
Excellent. Thank you. We'll move then to public comment. And the public comment here is for items which are not on the agenda. And each speaker has up to 3 minutes. Osana, do we have anyone from the public who wishes to speak?
Yes, I have Tina Dickerson. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Osana. I had my hand raised to speak to Mr. Niffen's report, and I wasn't called. This is really getting to be frustrating. I put my hand up within plenty of time, and I was not recognized once again. It's really frustrating. Is Mr. Niffen still available?
He's given his report, Ms. Dickinson.
Yeah, I understand that.
He was giving his report to the board.
And we have a right to speak on that. You can't, oh gosh. Okay, so public comment. I do have a comment. Recently, I brought up the fact that the CCSD office was at that time and is, as far as I know, closed to the public. This needs to be addressed by the board and the general manager And as yet, I've not seen it on any agenda item. And again, I am asking if you can substantiate any reason or reasons for why the office is not open to the public. Other agencies have their doors open for the public. Why is this our office not open? Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Dickinson. And Osana, do we have another speaker?
I do not have anybody else, and there is no other written comment. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. We'll move then to the consent agenda. And are there any items on consent that any director needs a point of clarification or wishes to pull? I don't see any. Oh, Director Farmer?
Yes, just I don't want to pull anything. I just want to make a comment with regard to item 5B with Integrated Waste Management Authority. And it just kind of troubled me that there are like 90 pages in here. And of course, that was printed five times for us board members. So I think that's like 475 pages. And I know it's a minor item, a very minor expense, but it would have been nice if maybe we could have had some reference to go to someplace on the district website to read this information as opposed to printing almost 500 pages. And that's just for us, board members. So that's my only comment. Just trying to, be attentive to cost. That's all.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Any other comments or questions? Osana?
Yeah, I have a written comment for 5C, consent item 5C.
All right.
Okay. Dear CCSD board, when I read the November 10 meeting agenda, I was shocked to see item 5C, in which some board members propose without flinching to allocate $1,010,000 for a new skateboard park and restroom on the East Ranch. The district is millions of dollars in debt for the water recycling plant. It cannot currently properly maintain its infrastructure, and it does not have sufficient water shortage for emergencies. This is not even to mention the cost of CCSD employee salaries, benefits, and pensions. How can the board even consider such projects, including a possible new swimming facility, when it cannot properly maintain the bare necessities of this small 5,600 population community? And what about considering more substantial help for those of us who are having a hard time even paying for the water and sewage by monthly bill before committing to community's resources to such projects? I hesitate to think what might happen if some group proposes that the district should consider funding something like a state-of-the-art bowling alley. This board should provide the basic necessities for the community's safety and welfare and for keeping expenses that this community incurs manageable and affordable for community members before it considers funding or even contemplating more superfluous projects. What is the board's concept of money, a manageable budget, profligate spending, and responsible administration of funds? It certainly has a different take on these things than I do. Before writing a check for another project, the board might first contemplate a reality check. Donald Archer. Thank you.
Thank you, Osana. All right. As no items are being pulled, I'll open it then for public comment for any items on consent. And do you see any? I do not. All right. We'll move forward then with the consent agenda. I'd entertain a motion for the consent agenda, please. Director Gray.
I move adoption of the consent agenda.
Do I see a second? Director Farmer, thank you. Osana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Five ayes for approval of the consent agenda.
Thank you, Ozana. So consent agenda items 5A, B, and C are passed by a vote of 5-0 by board members. Thank you. Move on to regular business then. And GM Weigold, if you would introduce business item 6A, please.
Yes, President Steidel, agenda number 6A is discussion and consideration to fill one vacant seat on the Finance Committee and one vacant seat on the Policy Committee. Staff recommends that the board consider appointing applicants to fill the vacancies on both of those committees. As background, the board directed staff to open and accept applications to fill the vacant seats on both the Finance and the Policy Committees at its October 14th regular board meeting. In accordance with the CCSD Standing Committee bylaws, we received two applications total for both of those positions. The term for both of the seats expire on February 18th, 2023, and staff recommends that the board consider appointing the applicants to fill the vacancies, the vacancy each on the Finance Committee and the Policy Committee. As there was one application for each of those seats. Penny, your questions, that concludes our report.
All right. Thank you very much, GM Weigold. All right. In this case, as the bylaws for making appointments of this kind have the chair of the committees interviewing and the candidates and making recommendation to the board regarding the candidates. So what I will do first, if I may, is Director, let's see, which one have we got here first? So Director Gray, may I ask, please, your interview and recommendation.
I heartily recommend Karen Crisman for the appointment to the Finance Committee position. She's highly qualified, and I think some other board members here, I've worked with her and find her to be remarkably, you know, hardworking, intelligent, and she does have a background. Her professional background does include experience in the finance industry, in mortgage banking. So I you know, think she'd be a great addition to the committee.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Ms. Director Gray. And Director Howell. I believe you had an interview and recommendation for us, I hope.
Thank you. Yes, applicant, Deborah Scott. I had a very good interview with her. She's very enthusiastic about joining the policy committee. And again, her background, I think, will suit well because she has been in administrative positions where policies had to be dealt with. Her enthusiasm and eagerness was pleasing to me because sometimes policy is a little, I think people may find it a little dry. So I'm very pleased to recommend her for the policy committee.
Excellent, thank you very much. All right, Director Farmer.
Yes, first I want to say how grateful we should all be that these two very qualified candidates have applied for these positions, because it doesn't happen all the time that we immediately get folks responding with these qualifications. So thank you. Also, President Steidel, I want to point out that a member of the public had their hand up, you know, right off the bat, and you didn't call for public comment on this item.
I still have the opportunity to do so, and I intend to, Director Farmer. Thank you.
Okay.
Anything else? All right. So before we move to motion, do I have any public comment, please?
Yes, I have a Julia Modei. Her hand is up. And
thank you.
Go ahead, Julia Modei. Julie, did you want to speak on item 6A? Going once, going
twice. She's taken her hand down, apparently.
All right.
And I don't see any other attendees who wish to speak. So I'll entertain a motion, please, for the recommendations of the two candidates brought forward by our directors, Director Gray and Director Howell. Do I have a motion? Do you want me to make the motion?
I move that we approve the recommended nominations.
Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you. Do I have a second? Director Dean? Thank you. All right. Osana, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. And Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Five ayes unanimously for the two committee members, for the Policy Committee and the Finance Committee. Thank you.
Thank you. So agenda item 6A, we have just appointed Karen Christman to the Finance Committee and Deborah Scott to the Policy Committee. Thank you both for your applications and willingness to provide your expertise within those committees. It's much appreciated, and we welcome you. Thank you. All right, we'll move to regular business item 6B. And GM Weigel, will you introduce, please?
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6B is discussion and consideration of adoption of resolution 43-2021 to appoint a representative from Skate Cambria to be an ex officio non-voting member of the PROS Commission in accordance with CCSD Municipal Code Section 7.08.010. It's recommended that the Board of Directors adopt Resolution 43-2021 to appoint a representative from Skate Cambria to be an ex officio non-voting member of the PROS Commission in accordance with the CCSD Municipal Code. As background, the PROS Commission had considered this item and had made a recommendation to the Board via a motion and requested a representative from Skate Cambria to be a ex officio member of the PROS Commission. The associated resolution is attached. Pending your questions, that concludes my report.
All right, thank you. And board members, do you have a preference on whether to have public comment before or after this particular action? Well, okay. Vice President Howell?
Yeah, I'd like to hear public comment before we act, if that's all right.
Certainly. It helps the board in getting public comment for to get feedback from them regarding an issue. So yes. So we will take public comment, please. Osana?
Yes, Tina Dickinson, go ahead, please.
Thank you. I just would like to say that I fully support Julie Amadei to be the ex officio participant for the PROS Committee, and I can't think of a better person to fill that position. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any other members of the public who wish to speak? I don't see any additional hands. Osana, do you?
I am just double checking the board comment written, and there is nothing. Yes.
And no, so no written comments. All right. All right. I'll bring it back to the board then for discussion. Director Farmer.
Yes, I've had the good fortune to have several communications on the phone and in person with Julie Amadei. And I just want to say that, you know, she's been quite involved. She's been probably the most visible person with regard to this skateboard project. She's initiated Skate Cambria. She's helped get involved with the skate park designer, Aaron Spahn. And I'll just second what the public comment was from Tina Dickerson, that we couldn't have, and of course, Julie is also supported by PROS chair Steve Niffen. So there couldn't be anybody more qualified and more knowledgeable and more representative of what this project is about than Julie Amadei. And I would certainly recommend her to be the ex officio representative on PROS. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Graham.
Yeah, thank you, President Steidel. I think we need to step back a little bit from the both from the skate park project here and from the particular person who's being nominated and talk about what the point of having an ex officio member is on the PROS commission and whether this fits that situation. There's one ex officio member now, and this has been the case for some time. You know, it's quite rare to have one, and that's the executive director of the FFRP. And the reason for that, which makes a lot of sense, is that the FFRP is in a legal relationship with the CCSD in managing the Fiscalini Ranch. In fact, they're the ones who are actually in charge of enforcing the conservation easement. So her presence, Kitty Connolly's presence in this case, the meetings is kind of necessary for someone who can be referred to frequently and lots of issues as to, you know, what the FFRP thinks about management of the ranch. Otherwise, and I've watched quite a few meetings of PROS, they have a fairly, you know, informal, but not, you know, proper, but informal way of dealing with, getting input from people who are not on the commission, including people with Skate Cambria and other groups. They have public ample public comment, but also they have the chair of that the commission does have the right and the power to ask for reports from other people who are not on PROS routinely as a matter of a meeting, just having an item on the agenda, say Skate Park Cambria, can you give us a report? So I don't know what's gained by promoting someone essentially from the public, even if they represent a sizable group of people, promoting them to the status of being a member who in all other respects other than voting is a member. So basically can engage in deliberations, engage in discussions, and I presumably on all the issues before PROS. So it's kind of a special status. It's in the municipal code, but it's not done very much because I think there's a recognition that this is not something that is should be routinely offered to people, or else there may be a lot of people beating down the door to be ex officio members. So that's why I'm skeptical of it as a procedural move that doesn't seem to be necessary.
All right. Are there any other, Vice President Howell?
Yeah, I have a couple of questions. I'll deal with them sequentially. The first is to Mr. Carmel. Because our code, again, I'll repeat the language in the code because I'm going to ask for a definition. Ex officio, ex officio members of the commission are representatives from significant constituencies served by the Parks and Recreation Department. So the question I have is, what does Skate Cambria count as a constituency? I'm having a little problem. I'm not opposed necessarily to what's being suggested, but I do have a concern that I've reviewed the dictionary definitions. This is why I want to get it from the legalities, because I don't think a constituency necessarily can be represented as a demographic. And I think the situation that Director Gray brings forth is something that we should at least think about, which is anyone can stand up and announce that they represent some portion of the community and therefore should have a special voice, let's say, on the PROS Commission. So I think that I need to get some clarity as to whether or not Skate Cambria counts as an actual constituency, and it's not just a collection of people, an informal collection of people, or just a demographic. It needs to have some, and I'm not sure because the dictionaries are not clear about this. So Mr. Carmel, could you help a little bit on this issue?
Sure. I think there's some subjectivity in the word constituencies. I think it can be interpreted very broadly, and it can easily be interpreted to include Skate Cambria. At least that's my interpretation. It's a group of people with similar interests, in this case, very focused interests, but that doesn't mean they can't be considered a small constituency.
Thank you. Again, just to follow up on that before I come to my next question. Okay, so if we were to go forward, we are presuming that constituency has delegated the person that we're appointing to be their representative. And are we making too big an assumption on that issue, or can we, or is this even a matter of concern to us? Again, for Mr. Carmel.
I'm not sure I understand the question.
And I was kind of sorry. because the whole situation is sort of informal. So I guess where I'm coming to, I know, forget the question. I think I can get an answer by my next question, which is to Mr. Niffen. Mr. Niffen, it's been my practice in the past to honor the requests of the PROS Commission as much as possible. And as if you may recall a discussion early on regarding the siting of the schoolhouse, in the conflict that the board had to vote on, I supported the PROS Commission, even though personally, and I had been heavily lobbied by the other people, and I was personally actually in favor of the other location. However, I chose to, since PROS had been delegated to review this, I didn't think it was appropriate for me to then second guess the commission on that issue. So this is where I'm coming from. So Mr. Niffen, I'd appreciate it if you could give us a little more information as to what I would take is this is a, what I'm hearing, and I'm gonna put words in your mouth, so I want you to correct me if I'm wrong. The way I perceive this is PROS Commission has a project, which is the skate park, that they wish to shepherd forward, and that they feel that having Ms. Amode as a ex officio member will aid the PROS Commission in bringing this project to fruition. So that's the take that I'm, this is the takeaway that I'm taking away. Could you just expand on that a little bit to explain why the PROS Commission feels and why, and this is directly to Director Gray's question, which is how will making Ms. Amode a ex officio member, a non-voting ex officio member of PROS, how will that aid in the project going forward, which, whereas if we don't do that, that might inhibit the project going forward. So how can you help us on this to give us a little better ideas to PROS thinking in this area?
Well, first of all, I'm kind of nervous because I feel like I'm taking a test and I'm being asked questions. And so then I'm like, okay, we're kind of in a negotiation right now, or I'm going to argue for my point. And when I try to make my points with people of your stature, you will realize that I don't really make my points or argue in that same proper way. Does that make sense? Meaning I'm like, wow, we are arguing over minutiae. We're an advisory committee. Who cares if she's on it or not on it? She's an ex officio member. We're not voting on anything anyway. It's like we've already spent too much time on this. And yeah, we have had ex officio members. The school board was ex officio members. We made them a member. I don't even know if we asked the board. They were the school board, so that was fine. They never even showed up at the meetings when we were doing the Prop 68 grant for up at the junior high. So really the idea behind the ex officio member was just to open lines of communication so that they would read the same stuff we were reading. So everybody had the same information, everybody on the same page, everybody trying to figure out the same thing. When they get there, they can make a presentation at the beginning. Yeah, they're not the same as the Friends of the Fiscalini Ranch. That those people are the real deal. So we're not trying to put them in that same boat, but it's, there you go. That's what I gotta say. That makes sense? Probably not.
No, thank you, Mr. Niffin. Yeah, and not really wishing to put you on the spot, but I like to hear when folks are advocating for us to take a position, sometimes I do like to hear a little bit more than just the bare bones to know where you guys are coming from. So thank you.
Yeah. Is there any other question at this point, Vice President Howell? Okay.
No, I'm good.
Mr. D'Anso, your hand is up.
Thank you, Director Steidel, or President Steidel. So, I was maybe hoping I could help clarify some of the reasons that Steve Niffin was articulating there, because based on the PROS meeting relating to the skate park that we just had this in the past week here, there was discussion with the PROS committee regarding a public engagement with relating to the skate park, and that I believe would help the conversation if Ms. Amade, you know, as part of Skate Cambria was going to be involved with those discussions, because there will be coordination with the project should the board direct the project, especially as me as project manager moving forward. And I will be in close coordination with the PROS committee with this, and I think that would kind of help clarify some of the reasons here, and hopefully that clarifies things. If not, I'm done. So,
Director Dean,
I've watched several PROS meeting, and Julie Amadoy has been attending every one of the meetings I've watched and speaking about Skate Cambria and the desires of Skate Cambria and details of the skate park. And if she's not a voting member anyway, as an ex officio, I'm not quite clear what the difference is between the way it's working now with her being at all the meetings and speaking for Skate Cambria and what it would be, the difference between what she's doing now and being an ex officio. If she's not a voting member, what's the difference? Because she's involved with Skate Cambria and she's involved with PROS on behalf of Skate Cambria anyway. So is there a need to formalize that?
Mr. Niffin?
I think it's more that we'll feel comfortable with communication, that I won't have to worry about her seeing a document because we're all on that same page.
Okay, you're talking about documents that are not generally.
I think so. Just more so, yeah, that they can see what I see. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I got it. Thank you.
Vice President Howell.
Sorry.
No. I'm.
The only thing I wanted to I'm not really adding to it, but what Mr. D'Anso said, I think is probably, that is where I am finding the strongest argument.
Yeah.
In establishing what would amount to a formal means of communication as the project goes forward. There's also another situation that something to just think about. When somebody does have an official position with regard to the board and PROS, if they have an official position, even though it's not an elected position, and even though it's not a voting position, it seems to me there's possibly a certain level of accountability and transparency involved, that a person taking up that position may actually acquire some responsibilities to the public and the and I might say, oh, this is a legal question again. If we were to do this, would Ms. Amodé be subject to the Brown Act as well as the other commissioners, or would she not?
Question. She's non-voting. I don't think she would. David? David's here, but he's not going to help me.
No. Oh, here he goes.
I don't know that there's any law I'm aware of relating to ex officio members of a body and how they then translate into members of a legislative body for purposes of the Brown Act. But I think the answer becomes, if that person is not voting, cannot make a decision, which is what the Brown Act is really focused on in terms of quorums and discussions and so on. So I think not really, other than certainly as a member of PROS, she would be in the public eye and have to participate in meetings. And in that respect, documents that she might generate, I assume, would be subject to the Public Records Act, things like that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's kind of tricky because I don't think there are any clear answers that I'm aware of. I'm more interested in the Public Records Act question than the Brown Act question.
Yes.
I would say no, she's not subject to the Brown Act, not in the traditional sense, in terms of serial meetings, quorums, gathering in a single place. I don't think she is.
Director Howell, Vice President Howell.
One area, though, again, yeah, this is how about, however, in the acting as the center of a spoke, and therefore creating a majority, lobbying the other members so that she acts very similar to what our general manager would be if he started putting together, even though he can't vote. he's still restricted as to the kinds of communications he can have with us. So I would presume that Ms. Amodé would be subject to that same limitation in terms of not acting as the spoke to create a serial meeting or a one of those situations. Would I be correct in that?
I think that is a very accurate statement, but that's true with a layperson, with anyone, to coordinate a serial meeting. I don't think she would be charged with a Brown Act violation as a result of putting that serial meeting together. David may disagree, but I don't.
Okay.
Director Gray?
Yeah, quick question for Mr. Niffen, talking about things that a ex officio member might be able to see that the public, that aren't available to the public, like documents and so forth. I can't think of anything offhand that would fit that category, because I think everything that the PROS Commission gets, unless it's, subject to closed session, and that's, of course, another issue, but that wouldn't happen with PROS typically. Anything they see is public, kind of inherently a public document, and I don't know why it couldn't be shared with people who want to see it. So I'm not sure what this idea of her being able to, ex officio member being able to see things that the public can't, what the example would be.
I think it's more just like when I get stuff, I don't show it to the public until my board sees it, right? I don't just say, hey, look at this stuff I got. I go, oh, my board's got to see it. And then I show it to the public. And I guess that I would be able to share some of that stuff with Skate Cambria before I knew we were going to put it out in the public.
Mm. Mm. That's true. Mm.
So I there
I love this discussion. I'm sorry to have to, that it's taking place on a Wednesday morning at 10:45, but it's very interesting.
I'm sorry we have to pay the lawyer for it. And Director Gray, why don't you go ahead and finish your thought?
Oh well, I was actually gonna finish the thought by maybe making a motion. I'd like to
make a few points first, since I haven't had the opportunity to speak. There were two things that there's an equivocation going on with PROS having had ex officios from other areas before. But in both of the circumstances that were quoted, those ex officio positions were from defined legal entities with boards. They were a nonprofit, they were a legal board in some way. Skate Cambria, although a very robust website, does not have a structure. It doesn't have a board. It doesn't have a nonprofit. It names some people as directors, but there's no construct to Skate Cambria as an entity. It is not an entity. And so what you really are dealing with is just an individual from the community and not an entity that exists in any kind of legal structure with a board or with a nonprofit definition. The other piece to it is that I understand, Mr. Niffen, you may have something that you would want to show or share that hasn't been yet shared with your board, or it has, that you would only be able to take to your board before the public, and there may be some lag time in doing that, but I don't know that that's going to make a difference in decision making. And the availability of interface and the ability to provide information has been wide open during PROS meetings. And I still don't understand the significance of what additional would be brought to the table with having the ex officio position. And I also have a concern that although non-voting with an ex officio position, that it does carry a lot more gravitas than a public, just a member of the public making interface. So those are the two things that concern me for right now. Director Farmer, you had your hand up for a while.
Thank you, President Steidel. I don't know how pertinent my comment, the comment I'm about to make is with regard to this discussion, other than the fact that, Ms. Amade, as I said, has been the main focus of Skate Cambria with regard to coordinating all the efforts that are moving forward with this project. With regard to the constituency that she represents, and like I said, I don't know if this is applicable to her being an ex officio member, but I've spent numerous Fridays out there with the Skate Cambria folks while people are coming by, voicing their support, people that live here, people that don't live here, but especially not only does she represent many, many members of this community of all ages, but she represents the parents and the youth that are going to be using the skate park. And I think because of the uniqueness of this particular project and the vibrancy that it's going to provide to our community, that perhaps the person who has been most involved with this should have some, how could we say it, extra involvement with regard to PROS, with regard to Mr. Niffen as the PROS, as the head of PROS. That's my particular take on this. And I think if people realize the quality of life that will be affected by this skate park and any involvement that someone can have from Skate Cambria to allow this to proceed in as productive a fashion as possible, I think this should be allowed, and that's my statement. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Vice President Howell, I had deflected Director Gray from making a motion just a moment ago. Is there something specifically that you want to make sure is?
No, I didn't mean to stand in front of, I also was considering making a motion, but let me
oh, okay.
let me stand aside for Director Gray, and then we can go from there.
All right, Director Gray.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it looks like from our discussion that we need a little more time to sort this out, because and I think Mr. D'Enzo sort of pointed, you know, I think if I read him right, pointed the way. Down the line, some decisions are going to be made about how the skate park moves forward, and what, of course, what our role is and what PROS's role is. I would move that we table this basically until, or delay this until after, especially after the meeting on November 20th, where we take up the take up specifically the skate park project in the future and our role in it going forward. So I think I would just propose that we postpone this to a meeting after that, no set date, it's up to the president, but after the November 20th special meeting.
All right, and do I have a second for that? Director Dean, seconds? All right, I'm sorry, did you have your hand up as a second, Vice President Howell? I didn't.
No, I also had a second and an amendment, so I'll second it and then propose an amendment.
All right, is that okay? All right, please go forward, Vice President Howell.
Thank you, didn't mean to just jump in there. So I would like to second Director Gray's motion, but I would rather have it tabled to a time certain. So if President Steidel, if we could establish a time when this could be tabled. I don't like tabling something indefinitely. That can raise other issues. And what I do agree that this is an important subject. And though I am tending to agree with Mr. D'Enzo and Mr. Niffen, I still think it deserves more discussion before we charge into this, just because of not so much because of the people who are involved in this particular thing, but as we go forward, where does this position us with regard to other concerns in the community and the possibility of having, as I said, I just think we need to be very clear in our relationship to PROS. So I would like to amend this to be to a date certain if we have it, if we can establish a date.
Yeah, establishing, Director Gray?
Yeah, and I guess I accept that amendment.
Okay.
All right. So the motion is, has been change to table this to a date certain, if we can establish the date, which is the difficult portion in this because of the with it being after the 20th and then moving into Thanksgiving, what we may be looking at is tablings to a date certain of the first board meeting in December.
That would be, were we considering a meeting on the 22nd, or have we decided that that's not? Okay. I guess then that would have, that's what it, well, okay, I'll let other people.
Well, I mean, it's, yeah, Director Dean?
I was going to suggest the first available date after the meeting that we're going to have with on the skate park on the 20th, which would be Monday the 22nd, if that's possible. I don't know if that's too soon, but pushing it off to December, I think, is just going to frustrate the situation.
Yeah, it's difficult for us at this point with the schedule and the holidays and everything else, and with the requirements being placed on staff right now to be able to turn something around in this. The other suggestion is that perhaps by our the only other option would be to, it has already gone out at the end of the day today, the agenda will be going out for the meeting on the 18th. So essentially the 18th is not viable to us. And we're having the meeting on the 20th, and the desire is to table it to a date certain after the 11:20 meeting. I'm open to suggestions. Vice President Howell?
I think Director Dean said it well. I think if we say table to the first available date after the 20th, that gives us some leeway as to how we do this, with the understanding of that there is some urgency. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, that leaves it open. It infers that it could either be a special meeting or a...
Right.
Which seems like an extraordinary exercise of the board to be able to deal with for this single item. Mm-hmm. Director Farmer?
Thank you, President Steidel. You know, it's been a while since I've had my hand up, and I've almost forgotten what it was I wanted to say. However, I wanted to do the exact quote from Vice President Howell when he said about rushing into this. I mean, this particular project with regard to the skate park has been visible for, you know, over a year. And I think just acting upon this particular relatively minor item of appointing an ex officio member to the PROS Commission to allow for this project to move forward in as productive a fashion as possible. I personally don't understand the problem that's being created here. I seriously don't. I'm a little bit disappointed in my fellow board members that we just don't move forward with this. With regard to this, how can I say it? This particular project that like I said, I don't talk to everybody in town, but everyone that I have spoken with feels a sense of enthusiasm about finally having a skate park back on Main Street. And anything we can do with help with that particular issue, I'm all for it. And I'm sorry that other folks on this board don't see it the same way I do.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Director Dean.
I would like to have the full discussion on the skate park that we're going to have at the special meeting at the 20th, but is it possible to add this to the end of that discussion on the 20th?
Suppose.
Yep, so instead of, so just tabling it and adding it to the discussion on the 20th so we can deal with all of it at once, is that a possibility? Because I would like to hear from all of the people from Skate Cambria. I'd like to hear what the board's discussion is on the skate park a little bit further. You know, can we just do it the same day since we have a special meeting anyway on the 20th and just have the discussion first?
Just to add it as an agenda item.
And added
reconsideration after the agenda. All right.
Let's do it.
That works for me. How about everyone else?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hands.
Works for me too.
All right. Me. Director Farmer, are you willing to?
I have no comment.
I think we.
Let's put it this way. If this is what you folks want to do, I'm not necessarily going to go along with it, but I'm not going to prevent it from happening. I just don't understand why we're not voting on this right now. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. So the motion, if I were to restate it, if that's all right, I believe, is to table to a date certain, being 11:20.
Yeah.
And that we will add that to the agenda item for the meeting of November 20th.
Yeah.
All right. Osana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. And was that still Director Gray, or did it change to Vice President Powell?
I think it's still my motion, yeah.
All right, Director Gray.
And then Director Dean, or Vice President Howell seconded?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. So Director Gray, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Dean.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Former.
No, exclamation point.
No, Director Former, no, thank you. And President Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Four ayes and one nay. Thank you. The motion passes.
Thank you. So agenda item 6B is tabled to a date certain of 11-20-2021 with a vote of four ayes, one nay. Thank you. All right, we'll move on to agenda item 6C, GM Weigold.
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6C is discussion and consideration of adoption of Ordinance 04-2021, adding Chapter 6.09, Mandatory Organic Waste Disposal Reduction, to the Cambria Community Services District Code to comply with the requirements of SB 1383. It's recommended that the board discuss, consider, and adopt the ordinance adding this chapter by title only, and waive further reading in order to comply with the requirements of Senate Bill 1383. At the October 21st board meeting, the board initially introduced this ordinance. And so this is now ready for adoption. The ordinance would take effect 30 days after passage. We also have Attorney Hirsch standing by to answer any questions on this matter.
Thank you, GM Weigold. What I will do then is move to public comment regarding agenda item 6C. And Osana, do we have any public comment regarding 6C?
I do not have any written comment, and there is no raised hands. Thank
you. All right, thank you. Well, bring this back to the board then. And I believe that what we have is the adoption of this ordinance after having already taken the former action in October 21st for the ordinance itself. So are there any questions or discussion from any of the board members? I don't see any. I'll entertain a motion then for the adoption of the ordinance. Vice President Howell?
Since our other directors are a little shy, so I move adopting Ordinance 04-2021, adding Chapter 6.09, Mandatory Organic Waste Disposal Reduction, to the Cambria Community Services District Municipal Code by title only, and waive further reading in order to comply with the requirements of Senate Bill 1383.
Thank you. A second. Director Dean, I believe your hand was up for that.
Okay. Second.
All right. Osana, may we have a roll call, please?
Yes. Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Director Gray.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer.
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. President Steidel.
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Five ayes unanimously to adopt Ordinance 04-2021.
Thank you. And so agenda item 6C, the adoption of Ordinance 04-2021 is passed with a vote of 5-0. Thank you. All right, GM Weigold, would you introduce agenda item 6D, please?
Yes, President Steidel, agenda item 6D is discussion and consideration of voting for a special district representative on the Integrated Waste Management Authority Board of Directors. Staff recommends that the board discuss and consider voting for a special district representative to serve as the alternate on the IWMA Board of Directors. There are is a deadline of November 15th to submit the board's vote to the IWMA. There are two candidates under consideration. One is our own director, Gray, and a director from the Heritage Ranch Board, Daniel Burgess, both of whom have statements and biographies attached.
Thank you. I'll move first to public comment. Lasana, do we have public comment?
I don't see any raised hands.
Any written comment?
I will look right now. And there is no written comments. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Are there any questions or considerations from the board? I'll entertain a motion then. Director Dean.
I move that we nominate Tom Gray, Director Tom Gray, to be the alternate for the board representative on the IWMA. I probably didn't word that right. I move that we nominate Director Gray as our special district representative to the Integrated Waste Management Authority Board of Directors. Is that more proper?
That's lovely. Thank you. And
it would be nice to have someone on our board.
Vice President Howell.
I'd like a second, but it isn't actually, may I offer an amendment at the same time again? Casting our vote for Mr. Gray, he's already been nominated. So if we could change the wording to cast the district's vote for Tom Gray. Is that agreeable?
Yes.
Certainly.
Yeah.
All right. Lasana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Director Dean, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean. Aye. Vice President Howell?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray. Aye. Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel. Aye. Five ayes unanimously to vote for Director Tom Gray to be cast as the district representative for the IWMA Authority Board of Directors.
Thank you, Asana. So agenda item 6D is passed with a vote of 5-0 with the board's vote of Director Gray to be put forward from Cambria. Thank you very much. Congratulations, Director Gray.
I guess we'll see. Thank you. Thank you.
Move on then to agenda item 6E. GM Weichel.
Yes, President Steidel. Agenda item 6E is to receive the Finance Committee report on strategic planning task to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. Staff recommends that the board receive the report from the Finance Committee on the strategic planning task to identify underfunded, under-resourced, and understaffed services. The board, as background, the board adopted a strategic plan. And as part of that, one of the tasks for the goal of achieve and sustain adequate financial resources to fulfill a mission was identified. An ad hoc was formed to work this issue, and the Finance Committee received the final report from the ad hoc on September 28th of this year, and voted to forward the report to the board. And so that report now is here for you to formally receive. Pending your questions, the Finance Committee Chairman, Director Gray, is obviously here, as well as our Finance Manager, Pam Duffield.
Right. Thank you. So just to reiterate, what we're doing is receiving this report, although it's possible that there would be questions associated with it. So first, what I'd like to do is move to public comment to see if there's anyone who has any questions regarding agenda item 6E.
I don't see any raised hands. And
any written?
There are no written either. Thank you.
Thank you. All right, so we'll bring it back to the board. There are any number of these things, if I understand Director Gray, there are any number of these that will then move forward to the second task within the strategic plan. Action. Which I think is appropriate. The one thing that struck me in the summary of recommendations is that I don't believe that there was anything required in terms of identifying potential structural changes until the task two. So in the summary of recommendations, that third bullet, the idea of merging the fire department, that's a structural change as far as I'm concerned and really isn't appropriate for the report of this task. And I understand too, some of the statements like share resources across departments or hire temporary workers instead of hiring additional full-time employees. I understand those, and those kinds of actions can work in a larger organization where you have some depth to draw on and some flexibility in the use of resources, but I think that one might be a little difficult to attain, considering our size and the specificity of the kind of work that people do. So I do think that the focus to the general fund items was the appropriate action to take in this too, though, because we certainly have more than sufficient things and activities that are going on specific to the enterprise areas. And something else. There was something that I was curious about in the listing of items. Of course, that was with water, so that probably isn't what I'll ask the question about. Okay. So those were my comments about the report itself. So let me see. Vice President Howell, you were first in the hands up, so. Mm-hmm.
Okay, thank you. Just for clarification, I was reviewing the spreadsheet at the end of the report, and the report is great. As I say, I think President Steidel may have raised some interesting and important issues, but I'm just trying to understand the spreadsheet, and I'm having a little bit of difficulty with this column labeled source, third column from the left. Give you an example, and so I just need an explanation. Where, for example, third line down regarding Zoll X series EKG parenthesis grant offset.
Which page are we on?
Page 160 of the packet.
Yeah, 160, right?
Yeah, 160 of the packet.
And, okay.
Everybody with me? Okay. It says budget unfunded, but when I look across, I see line item request amount of 40 and I see funded amount 40,000. So I'm a little wondering why it's saying, or what it means when it says budget unfunded in the source column. Let me move forward. There's a couple of other cases. It's clear to me that I'm not understanding the source column. If we go down, for example, in the next section on the fire department, where it's just saying, let me see here, like the hose replacement. No, not see, not that one. Yeah, hose replacement. It says underfunded and it's showing line item request 30 and unfunded amount 30. So would that not be unfunded rather? I mean, rather it says underfunded, and it seems to me perhaps it's unfunded. So I'm not understanding. I just need an explanation for that column, I think, because it's make them both fit.
Would you like me to explain?
That sounds like, yeah.
Okay. So what the purpose of this spreadsheet was, the committee requested that all of the department managers for the district provide a list of unfunded, underserviced, under-resourced items. So that's what this list is. We put it in priority order, and then the next request from the committee was to say what was funded in the current year's budget, or what portion of those underfunded services was funded in the current year's budget, and what is not funded. So it could be that, like, for instance, the fire station, the security systems, that's going to be like a three-year project. So you might see, you know, $70,000 or $100,000 out there, and you're going to see it funded a little piece at a time. Mm. Director Holly, your specific question on the Zoll EKG machine. So if you remember back to the budget discussions, there is a grant that the fire department has applied for this machine and some other equipment. It is sitting in the budget currently with a potential grant offset.
Got it.
If that grant does not go forward and we don't get awarded that grant, the fire department still needs to purchase this item because they do not have a backup EKG machine. So that is something important to have on the list just in case the grant doesn't come through. I mean, it's $40,000. It's a lot of money. So those, we were trying to make notes that relate to grant offset if there is a potential grant. And then again, to just display what is funded or underfunded.
Mm, thank you. I think I'm a little clearer about that now. It's a little bit tricky. So basically what you're saying is it's budgeted, but we may not have the funds if the grant doesn't come.
Correct. We would have to come back to the board and talk about the grant not being funded. And then we would, you know, discuss doing a budget adjustment to take it out of general fund reserves, or maybe postpone it till the next fiscal year. You know, there'd have to be discussion if we do not receive the grant.
Okay, thank you.
Director Farmer, I believe you were next.
Thank you, President Steidel. I have a couple of comments, observations to make. On the first page there, 154, the final sentence under discussion, where it says, the Finance Committee received the final report from the Ad Hoc Committee on September 28, 2021, and voted to forward the report to the board, along with some minor report edits. So I want to move now to page 156, about two-thirds of the way down, and read a particular item that was edited. And I'm going to state it here, and then I'll read the original statement. So here's what was edited. As the group began its analysis of the issues, it became apparent, and this is actually the first statement. As the group began its analysis of the, let me back up. I remember attending that meeting, listening to Marvin Korn make his statements with regard to this particular item, representing Mary Maher and the late Dwayne Lee. And so I'm putting it in that context of the many months that they spent putting this all together. So now I'm going to read the edited quote, the edited comment.
Director Farmer, may I ask? The report, when it came from finance, the finance group, I'm assuming that it was voted on as a whole in coming forward, the report itself, not the ad hoc portion, but this report was voted on by all of the members of the Finance Committee. Is that
I'd like to clarify that a little bit, because this is it's a process question in a way. The report that was presented to the Finance Committee for a vote on September 28th is, as we noted, was not worded. In certain areas were we discussed certain things that needed to be clarified. And it was in the motion, it was in our action. One was to clarify, and wording was put in the beginning, to clarify that this was first of two reports. This is, you know, the second report on structural change has to be treated as a companion report to this. This is not the last word. Also, there are a couple of things that had to be updated. For instance, the original report did not note that the SAFER grant had been awarded. And then we sent this back to the public, ad hoc subcommittee, at that time consisting of Marvin Korn and Mary Maher, to do a little bit of clarification, which they did in terms of bringing out the recommendations as a bullet list. They hadn't been there before, basically bulleting them and summarizing them and doing some minor rewording for clarity, but not for content. And so this is a report that was submitted then to the staff and is submitted to you. And that was what we mean by minor edits. But in other words, nothing substantive, except noting that it was the first of two reports, and then updating a couple of things just for factual accuracy.
Okay, thank you. So Director Farmer, I apologize, but I wanted to understand the construct of how the report was reviewed by the committee as a whole. So please continue.
Okay, nothing substantive, I think. I'm just going to quote Director Gray here. So let me read what's in here and what the original statement was. Okay. As the group began its analysis of the issues, it became apparent that there is insufficient revenue for the district to provide the same or expanded services at the level desired by the CCSD department managers. Okay. Here's the original statement. As the group began its analysis of the issues, it became apparent that there is insufficient revenue for the district to continue to provide the same service at the same level as it has been attempting to do, or to expand services to meet the additional requests. You know, I find this original statement to be much more accurate, much more alarming with regard to the future of financing projects by this district, and that should be of some concern to the ratepayers of this community. So I have no idea why it was changed. I'd be interested to know why it was edited to such a degree that it doesn't resemble what I just read. That's number one. And maybe I could get an answer on that. Let me also, if you don't mind.
I'm trying to find it, actually.
Well, you're not going to find it because the actual one isn't in here.
No.
Director Farmer, please.
Hey, don't give me a please here, man. You know, I'm a little bit frustrated with this entire situation here. This statement was diluted.
Director Farmer, please try to conduct yourself with respect with your other directors.
Oh, yeah, baby. Right. Go right ahead.
Raising your voice isn't necessary. It's okay to have dialogue and have discussion between people.
Thank you. So I have another comment to make as well.
All right, go ahead.
All right. So in going through this, it appears to me that also prior to conclusion and after administration, there was also a statement, vacant lots owned by CCSD that has been totally eliminated. So if you don't mind me reading that. Okay. Vacant lots owned by CCSD. Attempt to divest as many of these lots as possible. Seek volunteer labor in the maintenance of these properties, adopt a lot program, period. no additional real estate should be accepted by CCSD without guaranteed funding for its maintenance. This seems to be something that should have been included here for further discussion, further examination, because divesting of lots is it would seem to be something of importance. Okay, I will calm my voice down and now be more appropriate to my fellow board members and the community. Thank you.
Thank you, Director Farmer. Director Gray?
To clarify some things, the vacant lots are included. The vacant lot divestiture is included in the discussion. Not everything is included. You know, the summary of recommendations is a summary. It's not every detail of all the recommendations. So it is there. And I think maybe the clarification that Director Farmer is talking about on the finding that there was insufficient funds to meet the needs as they're defined by the staff, that had, I think we did have to clarify that because we started from a priority list that was developed by staff as to what they said they needed. Now, that was, we didn't make any judgment as to what the CCSD, what the public needs. We're going to go into that level of, you know, basically analysis or speculation. We started with budget requests and statements by the department managers as to what they felt they needed. So that had to be clarified because we didn't want to make a statement that the CCSD is broke because we say so. We want to say, you know, basically, they wanted to basically be clear about that. It's an accurate statement and less dramatic. It says the same thing because we were actually talking about all along. We're talking about requests from managers, the managers. I did want to explain a couple of things, and there's one problem that has been brought to my attention. From the resources and infrastructure side, it was pointed up at the last committee meeting, their committee meeting, that our priority list, especially I think in the enterprise funds, is a little out of date. So some of that stuff should be taken with a grain of salt as to, you know, the spreadsheet, not the recommendations. We don't deal with enterprise funds, but we were dealing with a priority list which was generated from staff a few months ago because the work started. Our work started at that time, and the Resources and Infrastructure Committee and obviously the Enterprise Funds managers have since updated their priority list. And I think this kind of points to the need at the upper staff level to make sure that we're getting a unified priority list at all times. In other words, not siloing the priority lists and having one with a different numbers or different priority designations as the others. That's one thing that was a problem that was brought to my attention. I did want to say a couple things about the points that President Steidel made, that some of these recommendations are in the nature of structural change, which is, I think, an accurate statement. And that is perhaps an inevitable outcome of trying to find ways to squeeze more money out of our system, out of our revenue and our operations. Literally speaking, we do have some, we did come up with some revenue, which we really could call revenue producing ideas, as opposed to simply saving money. But once you start talking about, well, how are you gonna get more money for this? Well, how do you save money and generate it that way? So it does, there's this smooth flow into, structural change, I guess you'd say,
right,
that comes out of this. And so, yeah, I'm cognizant of that. Obviously, the, you know, shared services between the fire departments, for instance, is very structural. That's going to be, it's long-term. It takes a community input, community buy-in for a lot of that. Yes, it's not a savings, but it's something where we're sort of saying, basically, if you're looking for low-hanging fruit in the revenue area, there isn't any really. I mean, if you jump really high, you may be able to get some of them, but most of the enhancements of our resources, our financial resources, will probably come from savings through structural change, reorganization, things like that, which is kind of chapter two.
Right.
One more thing I wanted to draw your attention to a couple of things, though, which I think are maybe closer to low-hanging fruit than others. One is the discussion of the vets hall, operation and maintenance of the vets hall, perhaps being given to a a nonprofit that's formed for that purpose, because we have two very robust, vital nonprofit organizations now involved on that property. Lions Club, which of course runs the farmers market, the parking lot essentially, and of course the American Legion, which has a lot of responsibility or a lot of activity and some responsibility in the Vets Hall. They're both perhaps potential for forming a 501c3, kind of like what was happening in Cayucas, a 501c3 to manage the Vets Hall and mm-hmm. become the managers, in which case CCSD would be one of the users of it. It's one of those models that should be, should be examined as a potential for maybe the Vets Hall could be managed, could be used more by this group to raise revenue for their own purposes and also for maintenance and repairs, which are very important.
Well, that sounds like something as a discussion for the task two, to move it to that. So I appreciate that.
And the other one, which is a little more task one, is perhaps getting some share of the transit occupancy tax, which is now collected for promoting tourism in Cambria, the 1 cent part, as a possibly using it for maintaining parts of the ranch that are can be reasonably called tourist-facing amenities. So ideas like that, I think, have a little more short-term potential.
Have a closer viability. Yeah.
Okay. Everything.
Let's see. Vice President Howell, you were next, please.
Yeah, I was about to raise a point of order, actually. The discussion is straying here. Really, all we are asked to do right now is accept the report.
Accept the report.
You're not even asked to agree with it. However, I do have one reservation, which is I do consider, just based upon the discussion that Director Farmer was bringing up, and President Steidel, what you raised, is that I don't. I would rather not yet accept this because the Finance Committee has not voted on it. So I would like to return this to the Finance Committee and ask to have it come back to us because there has been material changes. And so I feel that while the changes are probably good, I would like to know that the entire Finance Committee has actually read this report and approved it in its current form before accepting it, if that's in order to do. And that's a question for Mr. Carmel.
That's an action you can take.
Okay. So I move that we send this back to the Finance Committee for formal approval before accepting this report. But not to say, this is a parenthesis, it's not part of the motion. I'm not saying it's not a good report, but in terms of procedure and process, I think it's very important that we give that the Finance Committee does weigh in as a committee, even though this has been admirably edited. I think we need to follow the procedure.
I'd like to second that motion.
I second the motion.
Oh, okay.
And Director Farmer just did. Yeah. Thank you. Director Dean, did you have anything additionally before we move on?
I just want to verify that the Finance Committee did not review this final draft and vote on it.
It did not.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. So the motion has been made and seconded. So Osana, may we have roll call, please?
Yes. Vice President Howell, how do you vote?
Aye.
Thank you, Vice President Howell, aye. And Director Farmer?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Farmer, aye. Director Gray?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Gray, aye. And Director Dean?
Aye.
Thank you, Director Dean, aye. And President Steidel?
Aye.
Thank you, President Steidel, aye. 5 ayes unanimously to send the report back to the Finance Committee before the board accepts it. Thank you.
Thank you. So agenda item, well, actually, no, we need to vote on the agenda item because this is interesting. I haven't been dealt this before. So we basically are not receiving the Finance Committee report and are referring it back. So in actuality, the votes would have been, I don't think the motion was properly stated. That do we need to have wording within the motion that says that it is not being received but being returned in some way, or is the motion sufficient, Mr. Carmel?
I think the motion's sufficient in its current form.
All right. Thank you. So this is passed 5-0, returning the report to the Finance Committee for its approval in full before coming back to the board. All right. That takes care of all of the regular business items. And we would move on to difficult when I managed to bury my agenda inside of all of the other documentation. So we would move on to our board member committee and liaison reports. Before moving on to those reports, which are part of the agenda package, which was posted, are there any public comments related to any of the reports in the agenda package attachment? And I do not see any attendees who have.
Yeah, there are no raised hands and there is no written comment.
And no written. All right. Then I'll bring it back to the board. Are there any comments or questions from any of the board members relative to the submitted reports? Seeing none, or making sure, Vice President Howe.
This is not a comment on the existing reports, which are all excellent. I chose not to do a written policy committee report this time around, but I did have a few words. Just a moment.
All right.
Okay. First of all, we're still sort of member, so I just wanted to remind people of that. I don't think we need to have a motion to re-advertise. I think that's an administrative function. Just to advise where we are, to try to tie up and finish the year, and aside from welcoming our new member, will be to the two items presently on the open agenda, which I'd like to get some resolution. The committee wanted to make a recommendation to the board that the board be involved as a coordinating or a it's a little hard to tell exactly because there's a problem with the recommendation, but there's an issue about having some kind of an entity that can coordinate annual evacuation drill. So this is simply a recommendation that they wish to bring forward in their capacity as looking for areas that perhaps our code and our rules don't cover, but where they think that something should perhaps be that perhaps it should be covered. We don't have to agree with that, but my concern here is that whatever recommendation comes from them, the wording is clear and the reasoning is clear. And while the committee did actually have a vote on this matter, it was it's not in a form that I can bring it to you because it needs to be as a real recommendation. So we're going to work on that, and in a similar way, try to finish up a discussion regarding any kind of policy. I don't know if the word would be shortfalls, but there are issues about whether the board has sufficiently dealt with the issue of climate change in its policies. And so there is some discussion there, which I have hopes of bringing to a conclusion so that the new year can start fresh. So I just wanted to alert people on that issue. And also to also mention that our policy committee meeting has been moved to December, I believe it's December 6th, but I'm not sure on that, because the November meeting is starting to conflict with a lot of our other business. So there will be a little time. Anyway, that's the short of it. But my message to the community is we still have an open seat. It can be fun, so even though there's no pay. I do invite for more people to get involved if possible. Enough said, I think.
Thank you, Vice President Howell. Director Farmer.
Yeah, policy could be fun. That's cool. I just want to make a brief comment with regard to what Vice President Howell just said with regard to climate change. It should either be climate crisis or climate emergency. Just to put it in perspective as to where the planet and us residents are, us inhabitants of the planet are right now. Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other comments or questions related to Director Dean?
I just wanted to make the comment that the board does have an ad hoc committee that is working on evacuation plans for the district. And that it consists of Director Gray and I, and we are working with the Fire Safe Focus Group, and as well as with Chief Hollingsworth, and we are working on evacuation plans. So it's probably a little early to talk about having evacuation drills until those plans are figured out.
Yeah.
Anyway, other than that, I was going to make a motion, if we needed to accept the committee and liaison's reports. Do we normally make a motion and vote on those?
No, we do not normally do that. That's an interesting question, though, whether to make that a consideration.
We normally vote on other reports, so that's why I was asking.
Right.
Thank you.
Okay. That then completes agenda item 7, the board member committee and liaison reports. And so we move on to item 8, future agenda items. And Director Farmer.
Yes, thank you, President Steidel. This isn't necessarily a future agenda item, but maybe some point of clarification at some point. I believe it was Ms. Dickerson that brought up the question as to why the district office remains closed. So perhaps this doesn't need to be an agenda item in any way, shape, or form, but perhaps maybe a statement, just a one or two sentence statement in the general manager's report as to why this is the situation for our CCSD. That's all. Thank you.
Thank you. And I'm sure that GMY Gold can accommodate that in the manager's report. It's a good recommendation. Thank you.
You bet.
Director Gray.
Thank you, President Steidel. This is a also maybe not be an action item exactly, but it may be more for a report of some kind. Through a couple of channels, people talking to me about what happens with power outages in their communications and their cell communications. And in our discussions also at the ad hoc committee on fire evacuation, the issue has come up of just how robust our communication platform is for getting emergency information out to people. People now are relying on cell phones, mobile phones, sometimes often exclusively, or Spectrum phone service, cable phone service, which is also subject to power outages. And power outages are also becoming more frequent, not just because of incidents, but also because of intentional power shutoffs during, interestingly enough, fire season. And we were talking about, it seems that the cell network and the cable network here has a certain amount of backup power, but we're not sure. And we're not sure what we can rely on. And so my request is maybe to get a report from, and this would probably be from the general manager and the fire chief, especially about what they know of the resiliency and the power backup situation of the emergency services that communication services that we use now and that we may use in the future. Because it does seem that there's been an evolution away from just obviously landline phones and radio, and to these other channels of getting emergency communication out. And we need to be ready to, either if it's not good enough to, find out why not and complain or do something on our own to fill the gap. So it's a report on the, I guess, the reliability of the cell and cable telephone services or phone services as a platform for our emergency notifications and alerts. That's not too complicated.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Well, it probably has several pieces associated with it. And I don't know whether it is something for, I would guess that the fire chief probably has a pretty good handle on what those things are, and it would be readily available to provide that information to us. I'm sure that there are limits associated with it. Unfortunately, we're probably not in a position to actually make any significant action toward that.
Mm-hmm.
At this point, the information itself is of value.
At this point, yeah, I'm really just asking for a report for information.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I'm sure Jim Weigold can take that under advisement and interface with the fire chief, and somewhere along the line, either through the GM report or even the fire chief's report, be able to describe and define some of that for us. Yeah, it's interesting how we've moved to a cell and cable environment, because they are just as much at risk as any kind of landline phone service is concerned. About the only, and even for that matter, radio. I mean, fire can take out radio towers too. So yeah. it's a tough gig to try to approach. What is a fail-safe, and how do you establish a robust process for communication? Okay. Anything else, or I can move to adjournment if that's the case. All right. Vice President Howell.
Yes, I this is really for Mr. Carmel. Do we need to have a board action to ask for advertising for the still vacant policy committee, or can we just do that as an administrative?
I think you were correct. It's an administrative tour.
Thank you.
All right. Not seeing anything else then. I hereby adjourn the meeting for today. Thank you all for your participation and attendance, and thank the community members for theirs as well. And again, if you have the opportunity tomorrow, no matter what your own personal positions may be, please remember that our veterans should receive our respect and our thanks for their services and their sacrifices. So keep it in mind for tomorrow. And you can have a hot dog or hamburger afterwards from the Sons of the American Legion if you'd like. So have a good day, and have a good holiday tomorrow for everyone. And if you're traveling, travel safe. Thank you.
Enjoy this wonderful weather.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Recording stopped.